Welcome to Zichur Daf Siman Mem. I'm Rav Goldhar, and today we're Masechet Shabbos, Daf Kuf Chav Ches. So the three points we're going to focus on. Point number one, it was stated that it is permitted to move raw salted meat on Shabbos because it's edible. But this Malkokas Amoraim, whether one can move raw unsalted meat. Rav Huna says it's permitted to move it, Rav Chista prohibits it. The Gemara asks how Rav Huna can permit moving it, given that he's a Talmud of Rav, who held in the corners of Rabbi Yehuda, who applies Muxalas broadly, and would certainly prohibit moving the raw unsalted meat. So the Gemara answers that Rav held like Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to eating muksa. But with regards to moving muksa, Rav held like Rabbi Shimon, who rules leniently and permits it. Point number two was taught in the Braisa that Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav that if an animal fell into a stream of water on Shabbos and is unable to get out, one may bring pillows and cushions and place them beneath it so that it can step on them and get out. The Gemara asks, how is one permitted to use the pillows and cushions since one is mevatel kli me'achano? He's nullifying the kli from its preparedness. Rashi explains that when the animal steps on top of the pillows and cushions, they become a basis to the muksa animal, and therefore they become muksa themselves. This is prohibited too because it's likened to the malacha of soser, of destroying. The Gemara answers, Rav holds, sar ba'achayim deraisa, causing pain to an animal is deraisa, vasi deraisa v'dachi derabanan, and therefore the deraisa overrides the derabanan of mevatel kli me'achano. And point number three, the second mission on the Daf states that one may help a woman deliver her child on Shabbos, summon a midwife from a distant place, and be machal Shabbos on her account. The Gemara seeks to clarify what the mission is adding by stating that one may be machal Shabbos for her. It brings a braisa that teaches that one of the things that's permitted is to light a lamp for her. The Gemara asks, why would it be necessary to teach that lighting a lamp for her is permitted, since her life is in danger, and therefore one can obviously be machal Shabbos for her? The Gemara answers that the case here is dealing with a blind woman. One might have thought that since she can't benefit directly from the lit lamp, it would be prohibited to light it for her. The Braisa is coming to teach that it can be lit to put her mind more at ease, knowing that whatever is needed pertaining to her well-being can now be done. So once again, the three points are: number one, it was stated that it's permitted to move raw, salted meat on Shabbos because it's edible. But this Malkokas Amoraim, whether one can move raw, unsalted meat. Rav Huna says it's permitted to move it, while Rav Chista prohibits it. The Gemara asks how Rav Huna can permit moving it, given that he's a Talmid of Rav, who held in the corners of Rabbi Yehuda, who applies muksa laws broadly, and would certainly prohibit moving the raw, unsalted meat. The Gemara answers that Rav held like Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to eating muksa. But with regards to moving muksa, Rav held like Rabbi Shimon, who rules leniently and permits it. Point number two is taught in the Braisa that Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav that if an animal fell into a stream of water on Shabbos and is unable to get out, one may bring pillows and cushions and place them beneath it so that it can step on them and get out. The Gemara asks how one is permitted to use the pillows and cushions since one is mevatel kli me'achano. He's nullifying a kli from its preparedness. And Rashi explains that when the animal steps on top of the pillows and cushions, they become a basis to the muksa animal, and therefore they become muksa themselves. This is prohibited to do because it's likened to the malacha of soser, of destroying. So the Gemara answers that Rav holds tsar ba'achayim deraisa, causing pain to an animal is deraisa, vasi deraisa v'dachi derabanan, and therefore the deraisa overrides the derabanan of mevatel kli me'achano. And point number three, the second mission in the Daf states that one may help a woman deliver her child on Shabbos, summon a midwife from a distant place, and be Mechal Shabbos on her account. The Gemara seeks to clarify what the mission is adding by stating that one may be Mechal Shabbos for her. It brings a braisa that teaches that one of the things that's permitted is to light a lamp for her. The Gemara asks, why would it be necessary to teach that lighting a lamp for her is permitted, since her life is in danger, and therefore one can obviously be Mechal Shabbos for her? The Gemara answers that the case here is dealing with a blind woman. One might have thought that since she can't benefit directly from the lit lamp, it would be prohibited to light it for her. The Braisa is coming to teach that it can be lit to put her mind more at ease, knowing that whatever is needed pertaining to her well-being can now be done. All right, so now we go to our Simfer Kuf Chav Ches, and in this case, we're going to go straight to the winning suggestion that comes from three people. We have Eitan Fish in Ramat Beit Shemesh, Daniel Strachler in Ranana, and Uri Berger in Woodmere, who suggested 100 strong men. 100 strong men, and that's going to be our Simfer Kuf Chav Ches. All right, so here goes. The 100 Strong Men competition featured moving raw and salted meat into pillowcases to help an animal get out of a stream, and then lighting a lamp for a blind woman about to give birth to put her at ease. So once again, in slow motion, the 100 Strong Men competition, 100 Strong Men, that must be more Daf Kuf Chav Ches. The 100 Strong Men competition featured moving raw and salted meat, which reminds us, it was stated that it is permitted to move raw salted meat on Shabbos because it's edible. But there's Malchokas Amoraim whether one can move raw, unsalted meat. Rav Huna says it's permitted to move it, while Rav Chista prohibits it. The Gemara asks how Rav Huna could permit moving it, given that he's a Talmud of Rav, who held in the corners with Rabbi Yehuda, who applies muksa laws broadly and would certainly prohibit moving the raw, unsalted meat. The Gemara answers that Rav held like Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to eating muksa. But with regards to moving muksa, Rav held like Rabbi Shimon, who ruled leniently and permits it. So the 100 strongmen competition featured moving raw unsalted meat into pillowcases to help an animal get out of a stream, which reminds us, it was taught in the Braisa that Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav, that if an animal fell into a stream of water on Shabbos and is unable to get out, one may bring pillows and cushions and place them beneath it so they can step on them and get out. The Gemara asks how one is permitted to use pillows and cushions since one is mevatel kli me'achano. He's nullifying the kli from its preparedness. Rashi explains that when the animal steps on top of the pillow and cushions, they become a basis to the muksa animal, and therefore they become muksa themselves. This is prohibited due to because it's likened to the malach of soser, of destroying. The Gemara answered that Rav holds that tsar balechaim deraisa, causing pain to an animal is deraisa, va'asi deraisa v'dachi derabanan, and therefore the deraisa overrides the rabbanan of mevatel kli me'achano. So the 100 strongmen competition featured moving raw unsalted meat into pillowcases to help an animal to get out of a stream, and then lighting a lamp for a blind woman about to give birth to put her at ease. Which reminds us that the second mission of the Daf states that one may help a woman deliver her child on Shabbos, summon a midwife from a distant place, and be machal Shabbos on her account. The Gemara seeks to clarify what the mission is adding by stating that one may be machal Shabbos for her. It brings a brisa that teaches that one of the things that's permitted is to light a lamp for her. So the Gemara asks, why would it be necessary to teach that lighting a lamp for her is permitted, since her life is in danger, and therefore one can obviously be machal Shabbos for her? The Gemara answers that the case here is dealing with a blind woman. One might have thought that since she cannot benefit directly from the lit lamp, it would be prohibited to light it for her. The brisa is coming to teach that it can be lit to put her mind more at ease, knowing that whatever is needed pertaining to her well-being can now be done. So once again, the 100 strongmen competition featured moving raw, unsalted meat into pillowcases to help an animal get out of a stream, and then lighting a lamp for a blind woman about to give birth to put her at ease. All right, now it's time for 4 blah bah chazara. Daf kuf chav dalet. So the simon is cookie dough, so here goes. The cookie dough, that must be one daf kuf chav dalet. The cookie dough kept in the klush mach de la heter that can be moved whether needed or not, which reminds us the next Mishnah states regarding a klush mach de la heter, kol kelim nitan letzorach v'shelo letzorach. All kelim may be moved whether they are needed or not. Rav Nechemia says, ein nitan el letzorach. They may not be moved unless they are needed. There's a machlokas how to understand the Mishnah. According to Rabbah, the word letzorach in the Mishnah means letzorach gufo, and the word shelo letzorach means letzorach makomo. Rav Nechemia disagrees with the Tanakhim and says that klish machta leheter can only be moved letzorach, meaning letzorach gufo. Rava holds that the word letzorach means letzorach gufo and letzorach makomo, and the words shelo letzorach mean macham letzel, in order to provide it protection. Rav Nechemia disagrees with the Tanakhim and says that klish machta leheter can be moved letzorach gufo and letzorach makomo, but not macham letzel. So the cookie dough kept in the klish machta leheter that can be moved whether needed or not was so delicious people even ate it in broken mixing bowl pieces, which reminds us, the next Mishnah introduces a machlokas regarding broken kelim. The Tanakhama says that all kelim that may be moved on Shabbos may be moved if they broke as well. The Mishnah qualifies this, b'vaj yo'osin me'in malach, provided they can be used to perform some sort of task. Rav Yehuda agrees that these broken pieces may be moved, b'vaj yo'osin me'in malachtan, provided they can perform a semblance of their former task, such as a broken piece of a mixing bowl, which can still be used as a bowl to pour porridge into. This malchukas amarim, whether the kelim mentioned the Mishnah, broken Shabbos or an Erev Shabbos. So the cookie dough kept in the klish machta leheter that could be moved whether needed or not, was so delicious people even ate it in broken mixing bowl pieces they had found in the Carmelis, covering some spittle. Which reminds us, everyone agrees that a broken piece of earthenware may be moved. This malchukas amarim, however, about in which area this applies. Rav Nachman said in the name of Shmuel, that it may be moved in a chatzir, but not in the Carmelis. Rashi explains that a chatzir often has vessels that are fit to be covered by a shard of earthenware, and therefore it's not muksa. Rav Nachman himself says that an earthenware shard can be moved in a Carmelis as well. Rashi explains that people often sit down in a Carmelis, since it's not so busy, and they can use it to cover their spittle. Rava holds that the shard can be even moved in Rishus HaRabim. Rashi explains that since it has a use in the courtyard, it does not lose its classification as a kli when in Rishus HaRabim. So the simple kuf chafhe is $1.25, $1.25, so here goes. The kid who failed to sell useless talus remnants for $1.25, that means run daf kuf chafhe. The kid who failed to sell useless talus remnants for $1.25, which reminds us, Rabbi Zera said in the name of Rav, that Shiari Perosmios, Asu Taltum B'Shabbos, remnants of a talus may not be moved on Shabbos. Abai said that Rabbi Zera was referring to patches that are less than 3 etzba'os by 3 etzba'os, since they're not suitable for use By the poor people or wealthy people, they are muksa. So the kid who failed to sell useless talus remnants for $1.25 was about to close up shop with the shutter hanging by a rope, which reminds us, the next mission brings Malchokas and I'm regarding window shutters. Rabbi Ezra says that a window shutter that is attached to a building by a rope that is so short that the shutter is suspended in the air may be used on Shabbos to shutter the window. If the shutter is not suspended in the air, it may not be used to shutter the window because it will look as if one is building an addition onto the house. The Chachamim permit the use of a window shutter even if it's not tied to the building at all. Rabbi Bar Chana said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that both Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim hold that one may not make an ohel arai, a temporary structure on Shabbos or Yom Tov. They disagree only regarding whether one is permitted to make a temporary addition to an existing structure. Rabbi Eliezer says one cannot, and the Chachamim permit it. So the kid who failed to sell useless talus remnants for $1.25 was about to close up shop with the shutter hanging by a rope, when he suddenly got the idea to sell the stone on top of the barrel as a cover. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings a mission from Daf Kufman Beis Amud Beis that states that one may tilt a barrel that has a stone on top so that the stone will fall off. Rabbi said in the name Rabbi Ami, who said in the name Rabbi Yochanan, that this is only in a case where the person was a shocheach, that he forgot the stone on top of the barrel. If he was a maniach, if he placed it there intentionally, the barrel would become a basis ladava aser, and it would be prohibited to tilt the barrel. The Gemara explains that this opinion holds be'ina maisa, that a significant action is required to turn the stone into a kli. Just placing the stone on the barrel is not sufficient. Rabbi Yossi said, in the name of Rabbi Asi, who said in the name of Yochanan, that in a case of a maniach, where he placed it there intentionally, the stone would be classified as a cover for the barrel and may be lifted outright. The Gemara explains that this opinion holds lo be'ina maisa, no significant act of preparation is required, and merely placing the stone on the kli is sufficient to give it the status of a cover. Daf Kuf Chav Vav. So the symbol of Kuf Chav Vav is a cuckoo bird clock. So here goes. The thieves carried the cuckoo bird clock. Cuckoo bird clock. That must mean we're on Daf Kuf Chav Vav. So the thieves carried the cuckoo bird clock out to the window with the untied shutter, which reminds the Mishnah on Kuf Chav Hey on a base quotes from Be'ezer who holds, the one may close a window shutter on Shabbos as long as the shutter is tied to the building and is also suspended in the air. On this, the Chachamim stated, Benkach u Benkach pokeking bo. In either case, we may shutter the window with it. The Gemara here brings a Malchokas Amarayim regarding what the Chachamim were referring to. Rabbi Abba said, in the name of Kahana, that the Chachamim permitted closing the shutter, bein kasher, bein eno kasher, whether the shutter was tied to the building or not. But Hushim Asukim provided that it was mentally prepared for use as a shutter prior to Shabbos. Rabbi Yirmiyah said, the Chachamim permitted closing the shutter, bein tali, bein she'eno tali, b'husha kasher, whether the shutter was suspended in the air or not, provided that it was tied to the building. Mental preparation is not sufficient. So the thieves carried the cuckoo bird clock out through the window with the untied shutter and buried it deep in the ground using a cover with a handle, which reminds the final mission of the Perek states that vessel covers that have handles may be moved on Shabbos. Rabbi Yossi disagrees and says that only kisui karkos, covers of holes in the ground, need to have handles in order to be permitted. But kisui kaling, vessel covers, may be moved on Shabbos whether they have handles or not. Rush explains that it's necessary for the covers of holes in the ground, such as pits or cisterns, to have handles so that it'll be clear that the cover is not there permanently. Using a cover without a handle will look like he's sealing the hole permanently and will appear like bona. So the thieves carried the cuckoo bird clock out through the window with the untied shutter and buried it deep in the ground using a cover with a handle, not to disturb the shear where they had cleared away four boxes of hay. Which reminds us, the opening mission of the 18th Perek states that one may clear away on Shabbos four or five boxes of straw or produce for guests or to make room for Talmidim to attend to Shir on Shabbos. Rashi explains that this is permitted for the purposes of Chachnasas Orchim and Talmud Torah, respectively, even though removing the boxes involves Tircha de Shabbos, exertion on Shabbos. Daf Kuf Chav Zayin. So the symbol for Kuf Chav Zayin is cookies. So here goes. A lot of cookies, cookies, that must mean we're on Daf Kuf Chav Zayin. A lot of cookies were baked for the shul fundraiser in the field, which was cleared for guests, which reminds us, the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Chav Dalet Amud Beis stated that one may clear four or five boxes for Haknasas Orchim or Bittul Beis Midrash. The Gemara asks if the maximum number of five boxes applies even if one has numerous guests, or maybe if one has many guests, he may move up to five boxes per guest. The Gemara then asks if the halacha is indeed that one can move five boxes per guest, can one person clear away all the boxes, or each person needs to clear away five boxes? The Gemara answers that the five-box limit is per guest based on two incidents where Rebbe and Rebbe Chiya went to a field and cleared away all the bundles, not just five, to make room for their Talmidim. The second question, whether one may clear away all the boxes, is left unresolved, as it's assumed that Rebbe did not clear away the bundles himself, but rather instructed others to do so. So a lot of cookies were baked for the shul fundraiser in a field, which is cleared away for guests, as members were encouraged to do the mitzvah of Hachnasas Orchim, which reminds us, the Gemara presents a number of teachings about the virtue of Hachnasas Orchim. Rav Yudah said in the name of Rav, Gadol Hachnasas Orchim, Makabalas Menei Hashchina. Receiving guests is greater than greeting the divine presence, which he learns from Avraham Avinu, who asked the Kodesh Baruch Hu not to leave when he went to receive guests. Rabbi Elazar said, come and observe how different is the way of a Kodesh Baruch Hu from the way of flesh and blood. According to the way of flesh and blood, one of lower station cannot tell one of higher station, wait here until I come back to you. Whereas with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Avram said, if I have found favor in your eyes, please do not pass away from your servant. And then he went to his guests. So a lot of cookies were baked for the shul fundraiser in the field, which was cleared away for guests, as members were encouraged to do the mitzvah of Hachnasas Orchim and to judge favorably if their friend didn't give. Which reminds us, it was taught in a braisa, Hadan chaver l'kaf schus, danin oso l'schus. One who judges his fellow man favorably is himself judged favorably. An incident is brought about one who left home and labored for 3 years. On Erev Yom Kippur, the day of his return home, his employer told him that he had no money, produce, land, animals, or even pillows and cushions to pay him. The man left dejected and returned home. When his employer eventually traveled to pay him, he asked the laborer what he had thought when he told him that he had nothing to pay him. And the laborer proceeded to share how he judged him favorably in each of the instances. The employer paid him handsomely and said, "Keshem shedan tani oschus, hamokim yadin oscha oschus. Just as you have judged me favorably, so too should the omnipresent judge you favorably." And the Shultz brings that the employer was the Tana Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus, and the employee was Rabbi Akiva. All right, now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Number 1, which daf do we learn the tallest remnants are Muksa? That's on daf Kuf Chaf He. Good. Number 2, which daf do we learn about Dan L'Chaf S'chus? That's on daf Kuf Chaf Zayin. Good. Number 3, which daf do we learn about the historical background of Muksa? That's on daf Kuf Chav Gimel. Great. Number 4. Which daf do we learn when one can move broken kalim? That's on daf. Kuf Chav Dalet. Good. Number 5. Which daf do we discuss tilting a barrel to remove a stone on top? That's on daf. Kuf Chav He. Good. Number 6. Which daf do we learn about the virtue of Hachnasas Orchim? That's on daf. Kuf Chav Zayin. Good. Number 7. Which daf do we discuss what kind of kaling can be used to open nuts? That's on daf. Kuf Chav Beis. Good. Number 8. Which daf do we have a machlokes regarding which type of kisui, what type of cover requires a handle? That's on daf. Kuf Chav Vav. Good. Number 9. Which daf do we discuss where one can move broken kaling, whether it's a chutz or karmus or shus or rabim? That's on daf. Kuf Chav Dalet. Good. And number 10, which daf do we discuss the status of a broken needle regarding muksa? That's on daf. Kuf Chav Gimel. Good. Now we go to the 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Number 1, which daf do we have machlokes regarding what the origins of the tefillahs are? That's on daf. Chavav. Good. Number 2, which daf do we learn who wrote the brachos of Birchos Hamazon? That's on daf. Memches. Good. And number 3, which daf do we learn about the tefillin of a Kodesh Baruch Hu? That's on daf. Vav. Excellent. All right, that concludes our pop quiz plus the 3 bonus questions of Maseches Brachos. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.